This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, we're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order for January 21st. It's 12:21. Hopefully everybody had a chance to grab a cold bun and make a sandwich. If you hold them in your hands, they warm up pretty quick. Oh, there's a microwave, too. Yeah, refreshing. Sorry about that. Any late additions to the agenda? Anything anybody wanted to talk about? Employee celebration, the one that just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put that in report from the chair. Anything else anyone wants to add to the agenda? Okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Okay, no,
is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Anyone opposed to approving the minutes? I see none. That passes unanimously. The next piece that we wanted to talk about was the election calendar and making some changes to the election calendar, the election cycle. There's two copies. If you note the difference, the one that looks bigger with more weeks on it is what we did in 2014 for that election. And then there's the draft 2015 calendar, which is the calendar that doesn't look as condensed. So, Gina, I don't know if you want to maybe give some background from the office on sort of your thoughts here, but I do think it's definitely worth some time for us to discuss.
So at our last meeting, it was in conversation trying to figure out why it was that we had started the election so early. It was driven by the UA needing to constitute the committees and the stakeholders. So starting with that, I actually had several different discussions, and we're in the process of creating a new session calendar for the UA. And right now we're looking at they're not going to have their elections until the fall. And the idea was that that gives all of the assemblies the chance to finish their business, do their own election, and have a whole assembly session that has nothing to do with trying to meet somebody else's needs in the spring. And so that's what we're working for. We've done the same thing with the SA. We configured their election calendar. And we took a look, actually spent, we had a brainstorming session yesterday for about 3 hours where we had calendars all around the room, put in all of the different dates that we knew were usable, the ones that we thought might be, and what it might look like in an ideal world. And we came up with this as an option. We thought that by putting it in May, that really allows for a really full and robust semester of action by this body. And with all of the initiatives being put into it right now with engagement and trying to really do some work, that seems to be one of the benefits of doing so. Amy, of course, and her, she has great wisdom and historic background for what might have been bumps in the road, and she actually was a big part of moving a lot of these dates around and fine-tuning them. So Claire and one of our other clerks and I spent a great deal of time yesterday doing that. But that's the background as to why we sort of wanted to change things up, and this seemed to be where it would be. One of the other benefits of this is that sort of collectively everybody came to that the EA sort of always got short shrift when it came to elections. That being so early, we were trying to get them over and done so we could get on with some of the more robust elections, whether it was the trustee elections or the SA. And this really gives a lot of space and intentional time to create a very robust and intentional election session around for the EA to work collaboratively with the office so we can support the efforts that this body can do and really get the marketing out there, plan for the campaign, whatever it might be that will engage the community, but also really do it well instead of putting it together. So having it in May all the other things are done and have been done, and this really seemed to be a good space to do this before it got into the June and July and a lot of folks meetings. So that's in the background.
I guess we'll open it up for discussion.
So my personal question is, where does this tie in with employees who are kind of like on the 9-month schedule, so like timing or any of those things? Are they still here at that point in May?
It depends, I think, you know, because I think there's some 9 months, there's some of the 10 months.
Right.
There's 11 months, right?
Yeah, there's people with all different kinds. I'm just curious where it fits, because that's a, not that we capture a lot of that population,
yeah,
but that seems to be, you know, dining and residence hall people and things like that might not be here, so maybe even just a slight pushback the other way might still capture some of those things.
The dining halls will be open through May 20th.
Yeah.
So some of them will be closing a little bit earlier, but some are still open. So you will have some staff members who potentially would not be working the 18th or 19th.
Yeah. I have about 20 or so 9-month employees, and we keep them till just after reunion, and then they sort of break, because I know that some of the 9-month folks or 10-month folks get retooled, you know, out of their outlet to then support commencement and reunion. And then after reunion, and Haley, you probably have the same experience, then it sort of drops down to essential staff, and then they come back just prior to. So it's a good point. And I think, too, we just have to weigh the overall impact, the total impact, and also trying to figure out a way to reach more of those staff, I think, is probably our first priority.
Well, I really love that we're putting the calendar back later. I mean, I think it's a lot better for our team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you look at historically, you know, we have a bad showing for elections, and then we end up having people who show up later in the year to have
interest.
So I think that this might help into the election process rather than outside.
And I know this is the end of, you know, because usually what we've maybe seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, those that have been around longer, but the middle of the semester for staff can sometimes be really challenging, and usually sort of the bookends of the beginning and the end, the ramp up or ramp down periods,
mm-hmm.
we see more engagement. And I think that this is it's a nice time, because we're sort of that week leading up to commencement can be really busy for many, but it also can be a better time, because there's only a few tasks rather than a semester's load of things happening all at once. Depends on where you work and who you are. That week is not slow for me. Bridget is probably crazy. Hazel is crazy. You know, academic support potentially with grades and grade reporting. But no time is really probably an ideal time, but I think there's more ideal than others. Bridget?
I'm just wondering how they felt about the 24-hour voting period. Why is it supposed to say that voting starts in the end? It starts on Monday at 9 and Tuesday at 5.
So it's two days.
I think that's short, but I understand the purpose behind it. My recommendation would be to do it like a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, just because if people take off, they can take off a Monday or Friday to give themselves a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I would maybe shift Saturday if we're going to keep it that short.
I like that it creates a focus on the election, and I think, you know, building a communications plan around that and making a big push and trying to get people get out to vote in our sort of own right may be helpful. I think maybe a Tuesday, Wednesday. I think maybe the goal here was so that we had it for the EA meeting. But if that's not ideal, if it's better to do a Tuesday, Wednesday, I think that's flexible, unless I'm not seeing something that would prohibit that.
Well, if you left it Monday, Tuesday, the people that did take Monday off would have Tuesday to vote. And if you send out reminders Monday morning, you can vote now. Maybe
they'll be more likely to vote.
No.
I kind of like having the results and the EA meeting line up.
Right.
I think,
yeah.
You know, because otherwise we're going to have to wait a week and two weeks? You know, so I think that if we do it right, I think it can work. And I think we'll do it right. So
here... Okay. I was thinking about what I said there. I do like the Monday, Tuesday. I would ask to move it if it was just like the one day voting, but I think the 2 days gives us a, like you said, in the morning and Monday, vote now, welcome back from the weekend, kind of do that thing, just kind of push people through. And having them by that meeting, I feel would be nice. Because otherwise, yeah, you're right, it's a 2 week. I get antsy waiting, so I'd be one of the people that's like, I just want to know now.
Did I win?
That would be me, so.
Then the vote, and then the election, the results are right there, and there may even be time enough to turn around inviting the new folks to come to that meeting. That might be pushing it, but at least it sort of, it builds on the excitement rather than, oh yeah, because of the election, what was the result? And there's a lot of merit for that. It's really sort of using that momentum.
So now for the good news. This does require a charter change. So I have a proposal. And let me just talk this out and then we'll get to the proposal of it all. So everybody has a copy. If folks could keep this with their EA materials, because over the next several meetings, this will be something that we reference back to, and it'd be great if everybody could sort of remember their hard copy so we're all on the literal same page. The 3.5.2, which is filling regular vacancies and regularly, is when a term of a member expires. So this is a regular vacancy that's created. The last part, elections must be completed and results tabulated no later than the last day of March. So that's the change that would need to be in effect. And so to change the charter, it requires a two-thirds vote of the seated members, so of 19, and we can't vote on it the same day that it's introduced. So my proposal before I make the proposal, and I want to just get thoughts on this, is sort of verbally making that introduction to that, formalizing a hard copy resolution, and then proposing that we vote on that resolution to change the charter at our next meeting. But what I would also ask is that we approve the elections calendar, because the elections calendar doesn't require a charter change or anything. So we can look at the elections calendar and whatever we ultimately decide that to be, look at that today, make a decision so that we can then shape the resolution. But, you know, I would suggest, based on the change of the calendar, to introduce the charter change in today's meeting verbally to everyone, so that the next meeting we have that. So that's thinking out loud in terms of a parliamentary strategy.
Right, but how can we vote to approve something that we can't really approve until the charter?
Well, we can't approve it. It's conflicting with our charter, so we need to clarify that. But we can. It's sort of a sense of body saying, you know, this is the direction we want to go. Recognizing the step in that is also changing a charter, which requires a two-meeting process.
Can you make this for the day and vote on it today?
The charter change?
Yeah.
No, you have to wait. It can't be voted on the same day that it's introduced. And we would, to vote, have a final paper resolution that would show the strikeout and the changes. But before we write that, I would like to know what we're writing it about. You know, so it would say elections need to happen before the last day of May is really sort of the change that we would make. Because I do think it should happen before June 1st.
Before
yeah, exactly.
That's true.
I mean, we could really screw with the group that comes in next. yeah. So that's my thoughts. Just want to get feedback.
Okay.
if folks like the election calendar, because that's sort of the horse, and then we've got the cart. Bill?
I think the calendar is good this year, but what's it look like in the next year and the next year? Should we tie it into the time of the year? Like, put it, I'm just grasping at straws here, like the first Monday before graduation or the first the Monday between graduation and reunions or some language that puts it in a period of time rather than
a specific
date.
So like voting happens the Monday and Tuesday prior to the last EA meeting of the current term.
Some language similar to that. So that it's not an ambiguous moving target, it's always at the same period of time.
Yeah, so I think there's two benefits, right? The one is it locks it into a specific, but the year that maybe doesn't make sense or doesn't work out is the year that they then have to go through the same process. So one of the things I think we can maybe, so my suggestion would be, is maybe include that in the resolution, not in a resolve, but in a the part before the resolve, in the whereas, so that the sentiment is captured, but it doesn't lock in the charter, unless we feel strongly that we should lock in the charter to that time period.
My recommendation in the charter would maybe to just say something that, you know, elections must be completed prior to the last EA meeting of the standing body, so that if it's done one year, it makes more sense to do it in February, you do it in February, as long as it's done before the last meeting of the term of standing body.
Does that work, Bill, for sort of your sentiment?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do we feel that we're prepared to agree on the election calendar as proposed? If we are, if someone could make a motion for that in a second?
I move to approve the election calendar.
As presented?
As presented.
And Bridget seconds that? All in favor? Any opposed? And seeing none, that passes. Any abstentions? Right, seeing none, that passes unanimously. So now, I guess I'm going to step down his chair for a second and turn it over to BJ, because I would like to make a motion to change the charter in section 3.5.2, and this is just for introductory purposes with a formalized copy at our next meeting to vote upon, but that section 5 change to elections must be completed prior to the last EA meeting of that term or body's, you know, sort of generally regularly scheduled meetings. So that's what I would like to introduce.
I'm the chair now. Is there a second for that introduction? Recognizing Eric, is there any discussion on the proposal from Greg?
Great.
I think we're all clear on that. We can't vote on that until next week, so.
So we'll table that.
Table that until next time, and the current chair returns to the Greg again.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. Process in action. This is perfect. This is like the smoothest parliamentary moment we've had in a while. Well done. Any further discussions on elections? I know that I have included this copy. For everybody to see what terms are up. If your term is up, please consider running again or what your plans may be. But just wanted everybody to see. Everyone who is not up in May of 15 has the opportunity to serve on the Elections Committee, which Curtis has. There is half of us that is up. And so Curtis has volunteered to chair the Elections Committee.
More than half.
What? I said Curtis. Oh, yeah. So Curtis, it was difficult for him to be here because it's the first day of classes, and it's the time when student advising is greatly needed.
Indeed. So many needs today.
So I guess what we'll do is Curtis will reach out separately to those not returning to help sort of form the elections committee and make sure that we're in line with our charter and bylaws. Unless anybody else would like to express interest in being the returning or the elections chair, or unless we all can agree upon Curtis and tell Curtis to go with.
Hey, Curtis.
Does he know?
He does. Yeah, I've talked to him. About it. So Bill's not here, so I want to nominate Bill. No, I talked with him yesterday, and BJ had been in communication with him as well. So.
And you all know Curtis loves it. Elections. He loves it so pretty.
He knows it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that will sort of conclude the election calendar discussion. So Eric, I think now we'll sort of turn the process to you and Curtis to formulate a communications plan and strategy, which then we can discuss in the next couple of meetings. Cool?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, we'll move on. Just a quick report from the chair. February 4th, Vice President Opperman, Mary Opperman, will be joining us from 12:15 to 1. She's got about 45 minutes with us, about 40 minutes with us. So if I could just put out there now that everyone be here, be on time, and be ready to go at 12:15, because that's a full meeting. With that, we'll have the charter change, which we'll try to knock out first. And any other business that comes up, because Mary may be running a few minutes behind. She's coming directly from another meeting. And then we have the Provost Search Committee coming to get our feedback and input on the new provost, and then several members coming from that. The PJ, the dean's name, who I
kind of,
Alan Matthews, will be coming, as well as a couple other members of the Provost Search Committee. So they'll come from 1 o'clock to 1:30, and they know that they're at the end of the meeting, and they've got about 20 minutes worth of a presentation, 20, 30 minutes.
One question, when was the last time that there was a provost search, and how was this body involved?
How long has Kent been here?
It's since I've worked at Cornell,
right,
so it's been here for 8 years.
It's been
a lot of 7 or 8 years. It happened after I started working here.
Because Biddy was only here for, she left in like 07. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started in January of 07. She was here then.
She was. She was just on her way out then.
Yeah, she was leaving for
Yeah, because I was. Yeah, that sounds about right. So it hasn't been too long. And, you know, that's a great question to ask them, because that's it does affect us in ways, but it's not, it's sort of an indirect way. The provost impacts us. That's a really good question and something to talk with them about.
And what is the purview of the provost? Is it just academic? Because
Yeah, so setting the budgets for the colleges and I don't know about all the units, and I guess that'd be a good question to sort of understand what's the family tree, and because the he used to be vice provost for budget, but now I think is an associate vice president for budget. Paul Streeter. Yeah, and then I think became a vice provost, but I think they changed, and I mean, he might be an assistant vice president.
So Paul Streeter.
Paul Streeter.
So Fox became provost in 2009.
So there was a search.
So what's Paul Streeter?
Paul Streeter is VP for budget and planning.
And he reports to Joanne, right?
He's under the provost office.
He is under the provost office. So yeah. So I mean, it is a big impact.
Yeah.
Maybe we should lobby for a seat on the search committee.
I thought you were. Who said you wanted to?
No, it's my dad.
Gene's bad.
Somebody said you were on the search committee.
Somebody said without my knowledge, because I didn't know I was on the search committee. I went back and I searched, and I realized I was not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, I mean, there's inherently staff on every search committee, right? Like, we can, like, there's got to be, right? Because everybody's staff. But I think a purposeful point for a staff advocate, because not every staff member inherently, because they're staff, advocates for staff. You know, because when we were looking at the Retirement Plan Oversight Committee, they wanted to add members of the faculty, and someone mentioned that it was, well, because we're sort of all staff here, right? When you look at Paul Bursick, Mary Opperman, and a couple of the associate deans for business affairs that are on it, and they're like, well, when we have one EA member seat. And I'm thinking, well, it would be nice to have sort of that equalized, like, staff advocate, the same balance as faculty advocate, but it wasn't viewed that way.
It's like that in a lot of, I think.
Yeah. Because, like, we're all staff. But, so I think it's all good things to bring up, and we should think of questions, you know, jot some notes down, and sort of, I think I can prepare them to come with some of those questions if you have them in advance, so that we make sure we get good, solid answers, or feel free to just ask them on the spot.
From Alan or the Provost office, see if we can get that tree as to what the purview is before the meeting, so that the body can come with questions related to that. Really maximize the time for you.
And also maybe a job description.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
But actually, I Googled that on my phone at Cornell.edu, and it's got the Provost search committee. Looks like it's all faculty and a student. I don't see staff. I mean, everyone's at it's like professor or dean or something like that. I don't see staff. That doesn't mean they haven't been added after this was.
Who's the student
on? Matthew Stefanko,
yeah.
2016 economics and government major.
And Alan Mitnick's not on there?
I do not see him. Nope.
Well, it sounds like we've got something fun to take up. all right, so I'll ask.
And the executive vice president of the GTSA.
It's all BJ. BJ's got to sign up for the search committee.
Sorry, I've been abroad, but I'm back now, so we can off the boat again.
Okay, I will. I'll get that stuff for us. We were supposed to have today Leslie Sadler-Meyerhoff and some of her colleagues come, but they had asked to postpone. So when we get more, we'll reintroduce the topic. But I didn't have a lot of background, so just wanted to give everybody a heads up why that's changed. Employee celebration?
So I just wanted to throw that. I was there on Saturday, and it went really well, and we all attended. And I'm wanting to throw out there, I know the EA has gone in the past to have a table there to talk about the EA. But rather than do that, because I don't think that was a good use of our time, we might want to consider volunteering and wearing our EA name tag.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just another opportunity to be present there. And, you know, the students and our employees and students and can talk to them. And, so I just wanted to throw that out there. There are a couple a year, and I think even if we were to try to do it and say, okay, you know, a portion of the group go to this one and a portion of the group go to that one, not everyone every time. But, like, I know you were, I saw you.
So I had never gone before, because it usually happens when I have to work.
Right.
So this time I tried to make a point to sneak away for a minute, and just so I could understand what the event was and get a better picture for it. Because I do think we should be doing more with that, and I even think we should try to go as far as looking at ways where we can support it and get not only just our presence, but also our name behind some piece of it. So I think as we look to create our budget for this year, which I'm sure is coming up soon, because I'm starting to work on mine already at the hotel, so I think we should look at employee, because Cheryl?
Cheryl
does it, right? I think we should have a conversation with her about how we can be more involved, because I think that that's a natural mechanism for us to get our name in front of staff and do something. And if it's something we can financially support or support in volunteers, it's something we should make a commitment to. And I think you're right, because I don't necessarily think it's the venue to put an agenda forward in front of people, because it's, I think, like the career activity, you know, days and the professional development type stuff, like that's a good opportunity. But this was a lot of families, people with their kids. You want it to be excited about Cornell as opposed to, like, tell us your problems, let me hear your issues, like, what can we tackle for you? Because I don't think that's the spirit of the event.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, just being there, I mean, and wearing the EA name tag, and then if somebody says, you know, it would be great to be able to have, like, an EA business card, so you can have EA business card, so you can say, you know, let's talk about that. Here's a card. You know, they do
yeah.
something. You know, it's a great opportunity to capture in that moment. Because I think, like you said, you got responses to people to your service in the last EA meeting.
So I think too, like table tents, you know, like things we can print and put on every table, you know. Yeah. And that was the point of something like that, is that how long does it take you to go through a post-it note cube? Like, forever, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the kind of thing that really, I think, too, will make the greatest impact outside of our marketing efforts and our trying to, is just people knowing and people hearing peer-to-peer, like, hey, I'm doing this thing and I'm trying to help everybody by doing it, and it's kind of interesting. Let me tell you about it if you're curious. And if you're not, just know that it's there and know that I'm doing something for you and you and you and you and for us, you know, really as a whole. So the more of that we can have, the better. All right, so future TCAT meeting. Wanted to sort of take this time, maybe 10 minutes or so, and talk about sort of a strategy, because I think it's...
I'm just going to Nancy Doolittle, we don't have the polycom, but she did ask me to kind of, I'm going to try and
sure.
Okay.
So here's what we're trying to work on. If you've received emails, if there's some way that you can compile the emails into a Word document or PDF them in some way, And get them over to Gina and I.
I have forwarded them to Gina.
Hi. You did? Okay, good. That would be really helpful, just so we make sure we have them all. And anybody else who's... Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
Hopefully you can hear us.
I can hear you. That's good.
Great. So we just started talking about TCAT, and we asked anybody who had emails or comments if they could compile them, because when we will bring Bridget and other folks to the table, I want to make sure that we have, you know, a substantive amount of information to say, you know, here, this is a real issue. It's not just us sort of complaining about our own needs, but we're really responding to the needs of our constituents.
Right.
So do you want positive feedback as well? Because I got a lot of positive
feedback. Anything. Yeah.
And it's made getting to campus a lot easier. And it's actually compressed the time that we're away from our offices. For example, typically from a TCA meeting, I have to take a bus at 20 of 12 to ensure that I get here on time. Now I can take one at take one at 11:52 or 12:02 and get her. So I gave 20 minutes.
So that, I mean, that's another need of campus that's being met, and I think understanding the full picture will help us inform a better conversation.
Is it all on the student's agenda at all? Are there issues popping up for students who arrive from North Campus?
Absolutely. Actually, even over the holidays, because we had rush last week, a lot of the Greek community that lived in Cuba Heights were affected because the 81 routes were affected. And they're citing security issues too, because it's still dusk at 4:30 and the routes that stop are further away from where people live. So it's very much on the student's radar. The student assembly's first meeting is tomorrow, and they're bringing that up.
I will. Gina, do you know who's leading it on the EA or the SA? Okay. Yeah, we'll try to make it tomorrow to see, but I'll maybe just email Sarah and see what their thoughts are. And you know, it'd be great if we had some sort of joint opportunity for SA and EA to get together, and if folks would be willing, maybe do it at a co-sponsored SA meeting or co-sponsored EA meeting with transportation. I don't know how that would work, the logistics of that, but it'd be great opportunity for us from a positioning standpoint to show the unity between staff and students, which is often staff and faculty and students and students, but students and staff I think would be a great one to help the cause, but it also would, from an image standpoint, it'd be helpful, and it would be positive, and it's needed.
Isn't the issue, correct me if I'm wrong, and the changes happened, and the issue, to my mind, is having prior input and
yeah.
knowledge of the changes, the proposal of a change, rather than being handed, this is what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
and then having to react to it. So I think addressing that concern and putting our voice in the change, and even just hearing communication back,
yeah.
these are the proposal changes, this is why we're changing them, because of these reasons. And then it's easier to absorb that.
DJ and I had when we met yesterday, a conversation about that. It's a business process or practice, right? The decision... It's their right to make a decision about their business to change their business. But when it has such an impact and there's no communication to your point, because to me that's also the real issue. I think we need to be responsive to the needs and the concerns of our constituent group and make sure that they're getting the best possible service and resource available. But if a decision is going to be made, we should be part of that. And for me, that's the number one. Then the number two is, it's negatively affected some, it's positively affected some. We're sharing the concerns and the comments of our constituents, but the real issue is that we didn't feel involved or even notified. You know, just a common, like, courtesy wasn't even there.
Yeah, I found out about it just, you know, right before we put the announcement out, right before winter break. And so I share those concerns. I also have followed up with facilities and followed up with TCAT about any updates that they may have. And I just got this morning a statement from them that I haven't even had a chance to digest yet, but they are going to make some changes. Based on some of the issues that have come up.
Is that something you could share with us yet, or?
Well, yeah, I would think so. I mean, I haven't even looked at this. It's been kind of a crazy 24 hours. I don't know if Gina told you, but my mother-in-law passed away last night at 1:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have a perfect deadline today. So but there is. I'll try to get this to you at least by tomorrow, if not by the end of today.
Okay, well, we appreciate that. I mean, I think we're all sensitive and sympathetic to the fact that you've got a lot of stuff going on. So if it doesn't become a priority to you, I think we definitely understand. And I think everybody's sort of face and thoughts around the rooms are, you know, our heart goes out. And we appreciate you taking the time during this time to be with us and making the effort to be here. So thank you.
I think this is something that the statement has been looking this over quickly. I'll need to get this to you and get back to Joe Lamillard, but certainly I'll follow up with you guys in the next 24 hours about it.
All right, we appreciate that. So there's two. We were three. We'll go this way. Go ahead.
So my question is in terms of the communication, Steve. Since this is a TCAT decision, and TCAT is not Cornell, how would we have wanted that to be communicated to us, like through transportation services, or like who would that communication have come from, just so that we?
Yes. I think it can come from TCAT. It can come from transportation, because TCAT is Cornell. Cornell is TCAT. You know what I mean? We're a part of it, right, with the city and the county.
Conversations that are happening is that question exactly, and that is, I think we have three, we've been told there are three Cornell representatives on the TCAT board of directors, and yet they were a surprise with everybody else in the conversation that I've heard, but nobody knew this was coming. So if there's an assumption that Cornell has representation at the table where these decisions are made, that seems to not be the case. So how can we? Should we have a liaison to sit there to represent Cornell or the staff or whatever? And then secondly is the communication piece. And the way I look at it is information from TCAT will come to the community through transportation. Well, transportation knows who has A permit holders and B permit holders, and you know, I'd be happy to work with them to sort of show how to, you know, send out emails that are specific to the folks that would be affected. That seems a direct way to communicate this. The way it happened was, as Nancy described, we had something in the paw print, which has its own limited leadership. It went to the DDD list, which unless you're ready for the holidays. So unless you happen to get that email or have a supervisor that might have shared that information with you, which most people do not, then it was very, very slow to communicate. And again, how can we address that proactively with Bill's question? And that is, you know, having somebody at the table that whose job is to take information back and forth. And we can help find the vehicle, you know, once they get back to Cornell. But I personally have been going on a tremendous number of assumptions about that relationship between Cornell and TCAT.
A lot of this conversation sort of broke up for me, so I didn't catch all of it. But I think what it points to, which we've tried to do with a lot of communications in university communication, is that what was lacking was a communication strategy that figured out a rollout that was coordinated to get through as many channels as possible. But even given that, I think that the role of the EA comes before that kind of communication strategy rollout. You know, so because what you were talking about earlier is the fact that employees didn't feel like they really had any input.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I just to kind of go off of the overarching thing, too, part of our conversation yesterday was trying to get this body to be like the go-to in terms of, oh, this change is coming. Why aren't we the first body that was like consulted on, hey, this major change is happening. What do you think as a representative of staff members? And so when we eventually get to working with TCAT folks, if they hopefully do come to a meeting, I hope that's kind of how we frame it. It's not that we're necessarily, well, you know, like mad about the changes, but it's more like, how can we convince you to work with us proactively rather than always as an afterthought?
Hey, Bridget?
So one of the latest emails that I received this morning, which I shared with Gina, is kind of an interesting point, and I don't know if this is true or if anybody even knows it. So this employee was saying that they heard from several bus drivers who had no gain by spreading this information that there was a petition that was circulated from the vet school causing this breach in service. Other folks have told him they heard the same thing. They're trying to find out if this is true. If so, they think it should be addressed at the meeting. So I don't know if that's true or if anybody else has heard anything about that.
Like the vet college didn't want buses in their neighborhood?
Uh-huh.
Seems pretty.
So I work at the vet college. Yeah,
right.
I've never heard anything. I don't know if Eric has that.
That's new to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just something that...
We have covered, you know, two different areas of
that. Yeah,
I know. One of us was the first company.
I mean, unless there's something to do with the construction that we are undergoing, you know, but the bus stop, I mean, that's the bus stop where the bus is stopping, you know, in front of the tower, is not right about the construction. I don't know. That's a new one.
Yeah. I don't even know who... I mean, I think we'd have to ask TCAT, you know, what the catalyst for this was.
Yeah.
This was.
Yeah.
Apparently they sent out some leadership survey that students had answered to, but
I wonder if this was like the housing survey that was selectively sent out to staff.
Well, one of the questions I posted to Dave Howe, who came and addressed the assembly last year talking about the first year pre-cap, and he seemed to indicate that, again, we all didn't have anything to do with the decision, but PCAT had had several public forums, one of which was on campus. And I wrote back and I said, I'm pretty in the loop on a lot of this stuff, and I would have piqued my interest. There was never any public forum about PCAT that I could recall last fall. So he was going to look into it, and we have a meeting coming up. And Dave actually has indicated that he would be very willing to come and talk to the assembly. So he does sit on the board, from what I understand. He's also on the operations committee, and he's in line to become the next chair of the board in 2 years. So he's a great person. Plus, he's known to the assembly. He's come before.
He's also at the Met College.
Mm-hmm.
He's played Paul Treater, right? So he's in Paul Treater at the Met College.
So, wait, Davis?
Dave Powell, yes.
So Dave was interim transportation, right?
No, he was facilities.
He was facilities, but then I think filled in for transportation. Didn't he or no?
No.
Transportation is facilities, so he was always facilities. Ben Crowe was the transportation.
Yeah. Oh, Ben, was it Ben Crowe?
Ben Crowe.
Okay, I'm getting Dave Howell and Ben Crowe confused.
Yeah, different.
Yeah, yeah. And I know this. Sorry. Tanya, go ahead.
The same person made a suggestion that an alternative to eliminating the 81 service completely out of VLA would be to, instead of having so many six buses running back and forth every 10 minutes, the suggestion was to have like two or three buses that aren't running as frequently as every 10 minutes.
So, like, there'd be, like, the local and the express, right? Like, this bus would be on the local, which would make more stops, and then the other buses are sort of on that express loop where they stop at A, C, and D.
But that way, if they need buses for other routes or something like that, or, like, the 82 is now serving every 10 minutes, so they could still do the 82 every 10 minutes, but then have, like, the 81 doing every, like, 15, 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So,
all good suggestions. Yeah.
Suggest.
Yeah.
So, one of the solutions that people have come up with since this happened is that they either call transportation or they look on the map and figure out that if you park behind Boyce Thompson, it's the same price as parking in the big B lot. So now, if people are parking there, so that means that I don't find parking there when I come in the morning. So now I'm affected in that way, but it's not a big deal because I just park on the other lot. I mean, you know.
But you're able-bodied and can walk.
Well, exactly.
That's what a lot of people are saying. Is
right.
That now elbow lot is filled, and you have to walk a distance in the cold, in the ice, to get to some place. Those of us that are able to do that, it's really not a consideration. But there's quite a number of the community that are not able to do that, or shouldn't be out in the cold, or just aren't that mobile and secure walking that way.
So I think we've maybe reached our time with TCAT. And did you, or Tommy, right? Sorry.
I just sent to Gina the it's a very long memo, but I think it might. Again, I can't hear that well, but I think it might speak to some of the concerns that just came up. But anyhow, Gina, I just sent that to you.
All right, we'll make sure Gina gets that out.
Email.
Thank you.
Tanya?
So just really quickly, I believe that the 82 bus is doing service into the lot in the morning and at end of day. So they are going in and picking up people at those critical start and end of work day times. At least that's what I'm seeing on the 82 bus schedule that we have up at Eddie's Hill. So I'm wondering if it's this middle gas time. I think they're trying to accommodate folks to be off. And then secondly, TCAT has a citizen advisory committee, and perhaps we need to staff one of our people to that committee, since I would assume.
So Gary Cremines is on that committee.
Build a relationship that Gary should be, could we have him reporting back to the EA, so just like he's staffing with other committees?
Yes, great idea.
Because I would hope that group would have had that conversation about personally.
Yeah, and I know the Citizens Advisory Committee is all citizens, Cornell, Tompkins, Ithaca, and that committee. So depending on the makeup of that committee, the influence of that committee could be pro-Cornell, it could be pro-Ithaca, it could be pro-non-Ithaca residents. So I just think, trying to look at that more closely maybe is a good idea, too.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking Gary was coming back and saying, hey, there's talk about changing the significant route on campus.
We could react.
That's an opportunity for us to react at the beginning, not now.
Sure. No, great suggestion, and I'll reach out to Gary, too.
To proact, if you will.
I think it's important to recall that the changes that were made affect only Cornell. The 81 and the 82 only service Cornell. So that nobody in the community is really reached out to is significant and unique to what we're talking about today. Not necessarily that other community of downtown Ithaca folks or Lansing or wherever else.
So with that, we'll sort of close that discussion, and then hopefully we can get them on the agenda after the February 4th meeting. I understand it adds a little bit of a gap in time, but I think it's the best we can do. And as long as we're continually moving forward, at least we have progress. So responding to constituent communications. This was something that I sort of wanted to address because in the last 2 weeks we've gotten several emails engaging with us, and I just sort of wanted to throw out to the group thoughts on responding to those, keeping track of those, following up with those, how best to do it, where they live, how we how we do that. I'm trying to, as they come in, get sort of an acknowledgement note to that person and thank them for reaching out to us, letting them know we hear their concern or we'll address it. But I wanted to put that out to the group because it does represent all of us. So just a quick discussion on that, if folks have thoughts on how best to engage when folks engage with us. So they've been going to EA, which...
Really?
That's what I wasn't sure.
So it's just us two.
Because then I noticed that when you responded to that first one, or at least the first one that I saw, you copied all of us.
Yes.
And then someone else wrote to the AN and copied me, so I saw that second one. And that's all I'm seeing.
Okay. So that's good. I guess we now know who did the information. So you haven't been seeing them. So I guess first question is, would you like to see them when they come in? Good. Yes is the answer I was hoping for. Yeah. Okay, good. Good. I just... Yeah, you know, I want, because we had toyed, was it you that I talked to?
Yeah,
about?
We've been toying.
We had toyed with that, but I don't want it to be, like, I want it to be natural and non-scripted and actually engaged, so I'm...
A good time for
that. This is the mix that we were fighting with, is that, you know, we put out these engagement things and people are responding, which is great, but we're trying to figure out a balance between... making sure that there is a personal response from someone so people do feel like they're being heard, which I think is really what we're striving for. But we want to have this conversation now because right now it's like email here and there. It's not too crazy, but we want to figure out some kind of a plan before it gets to be, oh, the EA is responding to these things. Let's 20,000 people all pray email at once, and then it just, we don't reply, and it just, it looks bad all around too.
Phil, and then Bridget?
I send communications to our state and federal representatives frequently. They have an automated thank you for being involved and blah, 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 blah. You know, we don't really care, but we have to respond in some way. Thank you very much. And the good representatives, like Kristen Zilberbrand, whatever her name is, then do a follow-up when that concern is addressed to a larger body and says something more personal, like you want, hey, I brought this up to the group, this is what the discussion is about, and wanted to let you know, this is the response that we got back from your specific inquiry. So I don't think it's a bad thing that it receives a canned response initially. But the personal follow-up, I think, is an important thing to keep people engaged.
You know, and I think that's what we're sort of maybe asking about is how best to track that, how best to... Because, I mean, it can get... I mean, we all know how difficult it is to just keep track of daily emails when that's not... You know, Kristen Gillibrand has someone in her office that's a communications coordinator that's there probably... sole purpose in life is, not in life, but in their work life, is dealing with the concerns of her constituents and keeping track of that. So just thoughts on management of that, or you know, I do think it's our responsibility, my responsibility primarily, to respond. But I also think that it's our responsibility to follow up. As well, so I want to try to get that out in some way.
Is there, I mean, in terms of workflow, I'm going to turn to the office for this too. You know, there's a student clerk assigned to each of the assemblies. What kind of?
We're not a student clerk.
Not a student clerk. Sorry. You know, there's a clerk. Is that something that?
We represent you now.
Yeah. That's actually true. No, I think about it. Is that like something that could be built into the clerk's position, is just tracking communications between constituents, like outside?
I think this ties into a very timely conversation we're having, you know, of the 144 different lists that we have. There are very specific list addresses that are meant to do exactly what you're talking about. And if the EA exec gets, you know, YouTube, I'm sure there is one that exists that already, if you send out an email from EA at assembly.cornell.edu or something, everybody on that list would see it. And that, you know, it goes into a queue that we have that exists until we believe it or not. So
the ticket system?
It is.
Right.
So I think we can refine a process very easily, and we can do all the tracking in order to, you know, lessen the input, you know, the stuff that you've got to get to in your inboxes. What I would offer from the Office of Assemblies is if you get, whether if it's one or two, you know, then you can reply to those. If it starts, I mean, it'd be a wonderful problem to have that there's too many in emails to respond to, in which case what we've often done for, you know, whether it's tricky or sensitive ones, is we can craft the message. Send it back. All you have to do then is hit send. Or work together to support whatever your messaging is. However the office can decide whether it's an individual clerk, myself, or Amy, and if it gets to a volume point where, you know, we do need some sort of templatized auto response, we can do that, but let's get there.
Yeah, and yeah. I've got, and then, so Bridget, it's on, sorry. This two right here, you guys can find out who goes first.
Okay,
sorry.
No, we
can. Yeah, I like including committee chairs as, you know, sort of a, I'll mention this to the chair of the personal policy committee. That's a great suggestion. Tanya and then David.
Well, so I was just going to say, I don't like an auto response because I think that that's the pat, and when I get that, I'm like, whatever. You know, it's an auto response. It takes 10 seconds. It's going to get out. And I would ditto Bridget saying, you know, throw things out and say, hey, we got this and somebody responds to it. And, you know, Bridget, you seem very passionate, or you've got a lot of feedback about the parking thing. It seems like a lot of them that way. Could you respond to this person? And whatever.
Because I do think it helps to broaden the voice of the assembly so that it's not just one or two voices. I, you know, I think that was sort of the goal in the newsletter, to have it be a message from a member, because if you hear the same voice every time, I don't think it shows a representation, you know, because I think we all bring something different.
So, Ken, like right now, EA at assembly goes just to the CEU. Can that change go to everybody?
I think EA at assembly goes to all of us.
No, EA-members goes to all of us. So if I wanted to email all of the members, and then that goes to all of us. If I wanted to just, if I was an employee who wanted to email the EA, it goes just to the CEU.
So maybe we, so here, sorry, so my one concern with having the EA at assemblies, whatever, like if someone emails that, it goes to everyone, is that
it just becomes a little bit harder for us to track then who has responded. Like, the early ones that I received, it was, has anyone else responded to this before I respond? And so we have to play that game. So that's why, this is why I think I want to have this conversation, because if it's just going to the two of us can coordinate who replies whatever pretty quickly. If it's then us coordinating with 19 about who's replied, who's doing that.
So is the difference between, I'm sorry, could it be addressed to the chair and the vice chair and then copy the members? So then the members are being copied on for their information, but we're assuming that it's,
yeah, so I think that's definitely an option. I think so. There's that option. The second option is in our reply, we put the EA members on the reply, and then that way you see the whole chain of events.
That's right.
You see the original message. You see the response, and then I think what we should do is in maybe our responses will include maybe not a named person, but the chair of or. You know, we definitely hear your concern or your comments are valid, and we've communicated that with the chair of the personnel policy committee so that they can have this as a talking point at their next meeting or an item on the agenda at their next meeting. If you'd like more information about that committee, you know, fill in blank here. And I think that that's something we can craft a section like that to tweak each time.
What we have done is all of the committee chairs also have their own list. So you could just type, like, you know, the chair of the policy committee will be in touch with you, and that goes to that's a role, and then an individual is that, whoever it is, also could be also from the assembly staff. And we work on all of them so that there's, you don't ever have to give out a name, it's just that goes to the right person. So functionally, that already exists.
Great. David, you had your hand up for a minute.
I was just going to say some of the same things, like if our mind goes way up, just, you know, delegate it out, not even one person doing one response, but also I'm kind of the opposite. Like if our auto response that someone will respond to within 24 to 48 hours, I kind of like that because I'm like, okay, I got my email, I'm going to hear back from someone within 2 days. Good. So I hear back, you know. So me, at the regular auto response, it's kind of like, whatever. But if it says you will hear it back, you know, personally, within X amount of time.
Yeah, and I think like this gives people a time frame at least, though. Oh, it's been 3 days, haven't heard anything. Hey, haven't heard anything. You said you respond. Just kind of teach that.
I mean,
no, I think it's good feedback.
The thing I like about everyone who's calling, and the same thing like me here, I get to know what's going on, but I'm going to do it that so that if you're saying, all of us get it. I think that's an advantage in that because somebody is one of the members and somebody is very familiar with the topic and quickly hit you up on you, be there red and say, hey, I'll respond to that because I'm familiar with it. And so that takes the balance off of you, you can't figure out who will because everybody is aware of what's going
on. Yeah. I mean, I think this is, go ahead.
Oh, I was just wondering if we had response. So the only response I saw was that first one that you copied the members. But and then, so I guess because some of it felt like someone copied me and what they wrote, and I forwarded that to you, I think. But maybe everyone, I don't know if everyone got it. Because it seemed some of it was like, thanks for inviting us to write to you, and I felt like I wanted to respond to them, but I didn't because I was under the impression we were going to have a response. I guess I'm wondering if we responded to all the people
The only person I haven't responded to yet, to my knowledge, was the one about wellness that I recently got, and I didn't know how to respond to that one, so I need to coordinate with Beth, and I was going to actually ask Beth McKinney to help in response to that. So that's the only one I haven't. In the interest of time, because we're about 30 seconds away from our meeting being over, thank you for the input. I think our goal here was we're not worried about the volume. We just wanted to try to understand how to engage the group in those communications because it's something I think new for the both of us and wanted to understand how folks wanted to be a part of it.
That
might be a bylaw thing. Or it could be a standing rule. Okay, we could look at standing rules. So the other thing that we'll need to get to at some point is towards new destination goals, potentially for the EA. We'd like to have that as a discussion point when it fits into a meeting schedule and make time for that as a priority. We didn't get to that today. And then the last thing as we're wrapping up is looking for volunteers for the next newsletter to do the message from a member. BJ, anybody, Hazel, whoever, Bill. It'll be, what, a month?
Probably end of February.
End of February, but just wanted to tee it up early so we didn't have the 11th and a half hour.
What kind of message?
Just, here's what we're talking about, here's what we're working on. It's not from the chair, it's from...
somebody else.
Somebody else.
Yeah, you did a very nice job.
Yeah.
I have one quick thing to note. In the charter, 3.4, it says that what was the number appointed to the university assembly by May 1st.
That'll change too. Okay, I second that motion to change that. Be that for the record, the meeting's adjourned by time. Take care, everybody. Have a great day.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.